The idea is to take university research and rapidly bring it into the commercial and security environments. The tradition of a lot of university research is it's on the state of the art, but it's not being rapidly applied. Other countries have recognized that, and they're making real focus on trying to take advantage of their world-class university research and applying it more rapidly, India, China, Singapore, and so forth. And we need to do the same thing in the United States. And this is the concept that Senator Mikulski has recognized and others to try to accelerate the application of this world-class research being done by U.S. universities into the commercial and security world. And the partnership with, in this case, the Army Research Laboratory, is to take products that have application for the Army in the future, for example, more efficient batteries or better solar cells or whatever the item is, but that also have equivalent potential for the commercial world, so that in a sense a dual-use technology, and take advantage of the research to more rapidly put that into the applications through a industrial teaming. So that the venture capitalists become interested in it because it now has a first buyer, namely the military, and it also has that extra stimulation of looking for applications and the proof of concept rather than simply the concept.
How unusual is it for the military to partner with a university for the purposes of not only helping the university beef up its own opportunities for research, but to speed these sorts of initiatives to market? It just seems like an unusual pairing.
Well, in fact, the military have been a significant sponsor of university research in the past, but it usually comes from a sort of market pull direction. The university will say, we need somebody to be able to do such and such. And then the university might say, well, gee, we've got some work going along in that area. Let's see if we can find something. The direction of this proof of concept idea is more the technology push direction. In other words, the university has some world-class researchers who are working in a given area, and the application of that research now might be useful for the military. And so the Army says, well, gee, this is out of the, say, 70 proposals we get. Let's pick a half dozen of them that really have some potential for rapid application in the Army to give the military the benefit of it. And if you look back at the last few decades, certainly the U.S. Strategy from a national security perspective has been technological superiority. And so if one of the places that now the best research is being done is at the universities, you know, we used to have many more research laboratories in the industry side in the past than we have today. You know, people think immediately of the old Bell Labs and things like that. And so now one of the things we want to do is take full advantage of university research. The military have been funding some of that in the past, and now this is another way to make an alliance between military, industry, and universities.
We are speaking with Dr. Jock Gansler. He directs the University of Maryland's Center for Public Policy and Private Enterprise. Can you give us some examples of the types of technologies recently that the Army might have been funding that is seeing its way into the marketplace?
Well, the kinds of things that we're looking at are things such as ultra-miniature fiber-optic microphones or efficient biofuel processes or thin-film batteries for microelectronics or high-efficiency solar cells. I mean, solar cells today are pretty good, but maybe 15% efficient. Why not strive for something like 50% efficiency out of solar cells? Because then we could line all of the unmanned airplanes with solar cells, and they could stay up a lot longer. That's the kind of thing that the military would find very useful for long-term power. So it's applications of that sort. Then there's also a group of them that are oriented towards the medical area. because, again, the military have that concern about changing injuries, rapidly being able to fix them rather than leading to death. And so things such as trying to get non-inflammatory surgical sutures is one of the projects we're working on now.
$5.1 million, though, for a project like this, just, and I never thought I'd see the day when I would say this, but $5.1 million does not sound like a whole lot of money. But it'll be used, I guess, well, you tell me.
Well, it's being divided among multiple projects, and the good news, I suppose, from the government's perspective in this case, is that university research is really low cost. I mean, the graduate students are really low cost labor, and yet they're brilliant, you know. In addition to that, the professors have a real payroll that they get paid anyhow, but they're also going to get extra pay for summer employment, for example. But again, that's a low cost total activity, and that will lead to when we get a project that has demonstrated its proof of concept, then immediately the angel investors, the venture capitalists, suddenly discover that it's been demonstrated. That's the first important thing. And there is a first buyer, in this case, the Army, who is already interested in it and involved with it, since we have our researchers working with some Army researchers in each of these projects. I think that's an important point. And it's gone through a filter whereby we take, say, 70 proposals that come in and have them evaluated by experts in each of the fields that these proposals are related to, and we narrow that down to six or seven projects that we can fund out of that $5 million effort. So you put that together, and it becomes quite an attractive package for only, as you suggest, $5 million.
And, of course, the Army and perhaps the other armed services get technology they need to maintain their competitive advantage.
Exactly. In fact, that's the Army's incentive, that they get state-of-the-art stuff more rapidly and proven, as contrasted to here's a research project, you see if it works. You know, the idea of this is the proof of concept is the demonstration that it does work, and then that can be worked with the Army. If, for example, if we need some special facilities in order to be able to demonstrate it, maybe we use some government facilities. The Army puts in that portion of it. In some cases, these are essentially matching funds where the Army's putting up some of their resources or some of their people, and our project is paying for some of the people at the university, the professors and graduate students.
I sure hope that this doesn't sound like a naive question, but I wonder how this sits with the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, DARPA. This seems like it's really kind of going into their lane a little bit.
Oh, in fact, DARPA has been known as one of the major funding sources for university research out of the DoD. And it's a complement to the DARPA activities. Again, DARPA will say these are areas we want research done in. That's the demand pull, if you will. And that's a complement. And some of these projects, by the way, have already been getting money from DARPA funding, which is very positive. So we can get some synergistic benefit out of that as well.
So they don't
this is not competing with DARPA. It's a complement to DARPA.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. They don't see this as competition. It's a benefit.
No, a typical DARPA project doesn't say, I need to have an industry involvement. I want to do research to advance the state of the art. These proof of concept projects actually get industry involved early so that industry can pick it up from the university patents, for example, and apply it rapidly for the DoD and for the commercial world. And once you can get something that is applicable to both the commercial and the military world, then you get the economies of scale that come from the commercial world, and you get larger volume and therefore lower cost, and you get demonstrations frequently of continuous improvement. And that's desirable for both sides.